In the name of Jesus, amen. We observe All Saints on this first weekend in November. All Saints Day is technically November 1st, but we observe it as it falls, and so we're observing All Saints this weekend. That's why the paraments are white. White reminds us of the forgiveness of sins that is ours in Christ. His blood cleanses us from all sins. Won't be white next weekend, but I won't tell you what color it'll be. Come and see, come and see. Saints, past, present, future. We get the idea of saints in the past, and that's how we often think of saints. We think of holy people, good people that have died. And that's not wrong. That is a description of a saint. And in the New Testament, the book of Hebrews gives us a whole list of people, it's in chapter 11, that suffered terribly and yet held the faith. And here's some of the things that they went through. This is from Hebrews chapter 11. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. That is part of the heritage of the Christian church, people who suffered terribly and yet did not give up the faith. They serve as examples for us. They serve as role models for us. And we can learn from them. And we can be encouraged by their faithfulness. And that is how we think of saints of the past. But we don't pray to them. We don't worship them. We don't believe that they intercede for us. They live lives that serve as examples and role models for us, and we give thanks for them. That's saints of the past. In the New Testament, the word saint is most often used to refer to saints of the present. In the book of Revelation, the word saints is used over a dozen times, 4 times in the book of Acts, 11 times in 1 and 2 Corinthians, 8 times in Romans, 9 times in Ephesians, and on and on. But most often, it is referring to people who are alive. So yes, saints makes us think of people who have died, but when we read the New Testament, saints is referring to people who are actually physically alive. We're not comfortable thinking of ourselves as saints. We know we're not. We know from our own experience we are not as good as God says that we are. That's one of the reasons we're not comfortable thinking of ourselves as saints. We know there are those who have followed Christ at a greater expense than ourselves. Compared to those men and women who have confessed Christ and have paid the price with their lives or their fortunes, we don't want to call ourselves saints, at least not in the superb sense that they are. And yet, hear the word of the Lord. You are forgiven in Christ. Your sins have been washed away. You are one of God's chosen. You have value in His kingdom. You are a saint in Christ because of what Christ has done for you. All Christians are equally justified by God through faith on account of Christ. That makes you a present-day saint. Now, look at yourself, and you won't believe that. But then you shouldn't be looking at yourself. You should be looking at Jesus. Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That is sure and that is certain. You have been made a present-day saint because of Jesus, and He assures you of that good news through His Word and through your baptism and through His Holy Supper. But it's also true that God has accomplished more through some people than through others. God shows equality in salvation, but not in how he works. God is not an equal opportunity employer. We're kidding ourselves if we think that we have done as much as the Apostle Paul or St. Peter or Mary. We name our churches after men like Peter, James, Paul, John, not because they were the big financial donors, but because they were men who sacrificed and proved that they were saints by the way they lived and died. I may stumble through this or that sermon, but Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, by the Holy Spirit, gave us the Gospels, and those are read in the churches of God everywhere throughout the world. And after these men wrote the Gospels, they sealed what they wrote with their blood. The first apostles carried the gospel through the ancient world. The missionaries came after them and carried it further. They left their homes, they preached the gospel, and then they paid for what they preached, oftentimes with their lives. Thanks be to God for these people that have made great sacrifices from which we have benefited. All of us are descended from pagan unbelievers. All of us. If you go back in your family line far enough, you just find out that, man, your family, there were people who were actually enemies of God, did not follow him. If Patrick had not gone to Ireland, if St. Olaf had not gone to Norway, if the Saints Cyril and Methodius did not go to the Slavic nations, if the Spanish missionaries had not gone to Latin America, if Prince Vladimir in Russia had not adopted Christianity, if these men had not gone to other countries other than their own, we would not be Christians. We are only Christians because the Spirit worked through men and women who sacrificed themselves to God. And of these people, Jesus said, great is their reward in heaven. But then there's ordinary Christians like us. Christians who struggle with sin, doubt, and unbelief. Some people have the blessing or the curse of being famous. That's not us. We will not be remembered very long. Go to any cemetery and you can find some headstone that will say, gone but not forgotten. That's not really very realistic. After you've been dead for a generation or two, you will be not only gone, you will also be forgotten. But not by God. Not by God. And we will be content with that. With God, you will neither be gone nor forgotten. Our hope is not in this life, but that our names are written in heaven. We are part of the people which Christ has redeemed through his holy precious blood. Because of Christ, we have peace with God. Whether other people remember us very long or not, God does and God will. We are part of that body of Christ which lives, exists in with and under Jesus. If we live to the Lord. If we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. That's present day saints, of which you are one. Now there's also future saints. And at one time, you were a future saint. People in the past thought, what's going to be like in the future? Well, you're here. But there's also a future yet to come. And Christianity has a ripple effect. You are a Christian today because somewhere in your family line, someone came to believe in Jesus. They began to read their Bible, say their prayers, and they went to church. And that got passed down. Now that might have been generations ago. As far as you know, you go back generation to generation, there may be Christians, maybe not. Some people are newer to the faith than others, but somewhere along the line, somebody was determined to worship Jesus because they believed in what he had done for them. And that had a ripple effect. It went forward into the future, and now you're here. That continues to ripple forward. And so we think, well, what do we have to do for there to be future Christians? Do we set up some kind of financial plan? Do we set up an endowment? No. How do we know there will be future Christians? We hold fast now, here and now. We read our Bibles, we say our prayers, we go to church. And the faithfulness of Christians now has a ripple effect which goes into the future, which carries forward. Jesus is the cornerstone of his church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. That reminds us and gives us comfort and promise that yes, there will be future saints because of the power of Jesus' word. So we worship our Lord. We look for ways to be of service to those around us. We rejoice and give thanks for the saints who are of the past. We rejoice that we have been made saints now through the precious blood of Jesus, and we have confidence in what Jesus will do and what is yet to come, because he is Lord over all. Jesus, help us to follow you and to claim you as our Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.